All right, let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians today. We're going to be continuing our series of messages on courtship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verses 25 through 35. 1 Corinthians 7, starting with verse 25. Starting with verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the practical teaching of your word and every aspect of our lives. Lord, we thank you most of all for your great salvation that you provided for us in Christ and the deep, deep truths of that, Lord. We are so thankful for that. Lord, there are many other things that you have instructed us in as we walk through this life. And we know, Lord, that marriage is an important part of life. And you have ordained it between one man and one woman. And you have also given instructions how that should be conducted. And also, Lord, how a couple should come to the marriage altar and be prepared for marriage. So, Lord, we ask now that you would bless the preaching of your word, the teaching of your word now, and anoint me, Lord, with your spirit, and help me to say just what you want said. Help me be careful, Lord, not to speak something that is just an idea of mine, but that is the truth of your word, I pray. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just to review a little bit, The first week, this is the third week now that we've been talking about courtship. The first week we kind of gave an introduction to it, and also we talked about recognizing God's will in choosing the right lifetime spouse, and mostly for speaking to parents in regard to that. And then last week we talked about the overwhelming power of emotions and how dangerous that can be. And that was a very important principle that we must not forget. This week we're going to be talking about seeking God without distraction. Seeking God without distraction. The question comes, what should young people be turning their energy and attention to? Now, teenagers have all kinds of energy, don't they? I can remember being a teenager and the energy I had. and it wasn't always focused in the right direction, unfortunately. But they have a lot of energy. But that energy needs to be focused, needs to be on what is right and proper for them at that age. And that was, so we're going to be talking about that today. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." So, the first thing to really consider here is that young people need to be setting their affections, all of us do, but especially young people need to be setting their affections on things above, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and a relationship with Him, and not on the things of this world. In other words, looking around for someone of the opposite sex. Got that? Okay, that kind of summarizes the whole message here today. Now we look at our text passage here, verse 32. If you still have your Bibles open there, the last part of the verse, it says, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." And so you have an opportunity, young people, when you're young, you're not married yet, you have an opportunity to care for the things of the Lord and rather than for a spouse. And in this passage is quite clear that when you get married, you're going to have to focus on your spouse. You're going to have to, spend an awful lot of your attention on your spouse, or else you won't have a good marriage. That's just how it is. But there's an advantage that you have before you're married that you don't have that responsibility yet, and therefore you can focus your attention on the Lord and the things that belong to the Lord. Verse 35, last part of the verse, it says, "That ye may attend upon the Lord without," you see that last word? What's it say? Distraction. Distraction. I believe this is the clear teaching of the Word of God here in regard to young people. They're not married yet. You need to be able to focus on your attention on the Lord without the distraction of the opposite sex, okay? So I think that I want to give you three principles or reasons for seeking the Lord as young people, because that's what you need to be doing, is seeking the Lord and developing your relationship with Christ. Nathan kind of gave me a heads up on this last week after I got done with the message, and he talked about this a little bit, and I mentioned that I had that planned. I wasn't necessarily planning on preaching it this week, but since he mentioned it, here we go, okay? So, first of all, if you are seeking the Lord, you need to be able to do that without distraction, okay? Distraction, as it says in verse 35 there, the word distraction is used, that word means to draw away, to be over-occupied, or too busy about a thing, okay? And that certainly is true. When young people are dating or flirting around or their attention is turned to someone of the opposite sex, they are definitely distracted from the Lord and from His ways and from developing a relationship with Him. One of the devil's favorite tools is distraction. We see that in Scripture. We see it many places, other places as well. Eve was distracted from obedience to God by this tree that was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She was distracted by this tree. Lot was distracted by the lush green valley, Jordan Valley, where he could become wealthy as a farmer down there. And Samson, who was to be a judge and a savior, small s, of the nation of Israel, when the Philistines were oppressing Israel, but he got sidetracked. He got distracted by many women. And we know the result of that. He did not do well with the mission that God had given him. Solomon started out well. He built the magnificent temple. He sought the wisdom of God. He did well for a while. But somewhere his reign lasted, I think, 40 years. Somewhere along the line, 20, 30 years into his reign, he was distracted by many wives. And we know that in the later years of his life, he fell to idolatry. We see distraction happening a lot today. Remember Kent Hovind, probably most of you do. Kent Hovind was really doing well he was reaching people. He was making a big impact for Christ. And he got distracted with this income tax thing and this patriotic movement. And he got distracted. He got in the wrong war. And he spent 10 years in prison. And in the process of that time, he changed a lot of his doctrine. He was distracted. You know, you can get in the wrong war really easy. You got to be careful. You know, there are a lot of good causes out there. But you got to be careful. A good cause can just be a distraction from what God really intends for you to be doing. You understand that? I mean, this is just a general principle here about distraction. How many of you have been sitting behind a car at a green light while they're talking on the cell phone? You want to honk, but you're too good of a Christian to honk, so you sit there until the light turns red, right? Or do you honk? I don't know what you do, but anyway. What's the problem? The person's distracted with their cell phone. A lot of accidents happen because of that as well. People texting and talking on the cell phone and so forth. They're distracted and they're driving. When I was years ago, I worked for a guy by the name of Lyle Mack doing maintenance on his rental properties. We were working down there on the Highland District and some rentals. We needed to go pick up some supplies. And so we jumped in his car and he drove and we headed out to cross town to get some supplies. And he was a good Christian man. We always enjoyed having good Christian fellowship together. And we had some good spiritual talks together and we started talking and as he was driving. And we were very involved in what we were talking about. And before you knew it, both of us didn't realize that we were clear on the wrong side of town. He was distracted from where he was trying to go. And I don't know if any of the rest of you have that problem or not. It happens to me all the time, by the way. But so I have to be careful about that. Sometimes when I'm preparing a message, I'll be sitting there in my office and I'll have a thought, just getting ready to, type it on the computer, and that phone will ring, or one of my grandkids will walk in, or, something. And where's the thought go? It went south. never to be found again. Distraction is a big problem sometimes, isn't it? We can be distracted from the Word of God and from prayer, can't we? That's why you need to find a quiet place to spend time with the Lord. And then, coming back full circle here to what we're talking about today, it's so easy for young people to be distracted from growing in the Lord by flirting and things with the opposite sex. Flirting and looking around, thinking wrong. Girls, maybe primping. You know, you want to look pretty. You can attract some guy. You're primping. Spend 2 hours in the bathroom primping. You got to spend maybe 10 minutes in the bathroom combing your hair. Go ahead, comb your hair, brush your teeth, you know, wash your face and all that. But then go get your Bible and draw close to the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Amen. That'd be a lot more profitable in the end, I'll tell you that. Need to be working on the hidden man of the heart, as it tells us in 1 Peter 3. Let the hidden man of the heart, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's of great value, the hidden man of the heart. We'll be working on that. So, you need to be able to focus on the Lord without the distraction of the opposite sex. Secondly, the reason for focusing on the Lord and seeking the Lord is because you need to have the freedom to become spiritually mature. And if you're distracted, you're not going to have that freedom to become spiritually mature. You're going to be just a stagnant Christian. There are three kinds of people the Bible speaks about: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. The natural man is the unsaved person. But the carnal man is the Christian who is not very spiritual. He's not mature. He's a babe in Christ, so to speak. And then there's the spiritual Christian. And your goal, young people, you need to become a spiritual Christian, a spiritually mature Christian, before you ever get married. Understand that? That was absolutely essential. Let me give you some characteristics of a carnal person, first of all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it speaks about this. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, walk as men." It's a sign of a carnal person is there's envying and strife and divisions. And that can be manifested in a lot of different ways. It can be manifested by selfishness, by pride and anger, and uncontrolled passions, ruled by your heart rather than truth and reason. What are the characteristics of a spiritually mature person? Well, we have that in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But I want to talk to you just for a minute about temperance. Temperance is self-control. Self-control. If you become spiritually mature, you will learn how to keep your emotions in check. Okay? You'll learn how to control that. That's temperance, you see. You must become spiritually mature, and you cannot do that if you're distracted by flirting around all the time. Okay? You need to be able to make sound spiritual decisions. When your parents say, "I think this is the right person for you," you need to go pray. And you need to get a hold of God, and you need to know for sure that this is indeed what God wants for yourself. You need to be able to make the right kind of decision. This is a life-changing decision. This is a lifelong decision, young people. You can't afford to take it lightly. This is important. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." If you want to know what God's will is, you're going to have to become a spiritual Christian, okay? A spiritually mature Christian. A carnal Christian will not know what God's will is for their life. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." You can't make good judgments if you're not spiritual. You'll make foolish decisions. And a foolish decision regarding a spouse can ruin your life. Amen?
Amen?
Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." This is talking about a carnal Christian again. "You're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised," and here it is, listen, "to discern both good and evil." You will not, if you're not a spiritual Christian, you will not be able to discern what's good and what's evil in another person. Okay? In a potential spouse. You will not be able to discern that. A spiritually mature young person recognizes the wisdom of depending upon the experience of years, wisdom, and protective covering of parents in finding a spouse. And he also can more easily recognize godly character and will put more value upon it. Since he has developed an intimate relationship with Christ, he is also less likely to be deceived by his own heart, which has been saturated by the Word of God and prayer. Did you get all that? I hope so. Oh, there's so many silly, carnal young people around. I really hope there's none here. I don't think there is. I think most of you are pretty good kids. But there are so many silly, carnal young people around. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 talks about the last days, and it's going to be that way. In fact, in it gives a description of the last days in the first few verses there. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then down in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. These are false teachers, is talking about here now. Creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. I want to tell you something. Some young guy, girls, listen to me. If you're not spiritually mature, it would be easy for some young guy to come along, some cool guy, and deceive you. You know that? And lead you away. And what are you? You're a silly, foolish young girl if you let that happen. Did you get that? I hope so. That's what the Apostle Paul calls them. Silly. Silly. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I'm here as your pastor to protect you, kids. Do you know that? Just like your parents are here to protect you. And what I'm saying to you right now is for your good, for your protection. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to like make life miserable for you. I want you all to have a happy, wonderful marriage. Okay? And that's why we're talking about this. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, listen to this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By the way, let me just say this, kids. When there's a spouse, a possibility of a spouse out there, make sure, and parents, I'm talking to you first, okay, about this, but make sure the doctrine is right. Make sure the doctrine is right. This is very important. I had a young man that was wanting to court my daughter Vicky many years ago. And he was a hyper-Calvinist. I finally had to just tell him. I went for a walk with him and I said, look, this is not going to work. You're going to have to head down the road. I mean, it's you're out of here, guy. And he was brokenhearted, and I felt bad, you know. He was a nice guy and everything. But doctrine's important. Don't mess up on that one. It's very dangerous for an immature young person to be out prowling around looking for a mate. It's very, very dangerous. Please heed that warning. The third thing that we need to consider today is that becoming spiritually mature, seeking after God in your younger years, will prepare you for raising a godly family yourself when you're married. Okay? This is important. How will you be able to ever lead your family spiritually, young man, if you're not spiritual yourself, if you're not a spiritual young man yourself? You'll fail. You won't be able to do it. If you don't get it figured out before you get married, you're not going to figure it out after you get married, chances are. You know? And if you do, it will not be as good as if you could have figured it out before you were married. Girls, how will you be able, if you're not spiritually mature when you get married, how will you be able to be a godly, submissive wife and a positive spiritual influence on your children? You won't do very good with that. You need to be ready for the responsibility of a family. And if you're not spiritually mature, you are not ready for the responsibility of a family. You understand that? Boys in their 30s are still playing with their toys today in our culture, aren't they? Toys are a little more expensive, but they're still playing with their toys. What happened? Even Christians, a lot of Christians, they never became mature. Never grew up. Never became a spiritual mature person. Silly girls, 20-something, are swept off their feet by some cool guy. What happened? They were never spiritually mature. Let me just share my own failure with you, if I could, again. I told you before that my wife and I dated. We didn't know anything about courtship. Off and on for 4 years. I was 17. She was 14 when we started dating, of all the crazy things. And we were married when I was 21. But through those years, we weren't always dating. Sometimes I dated some other girls. She did too. Other guys, that is. That just occupied our thoughts, both of us. It was, you know, I could have spent those 3 or 4 years growing in Christian maturity, but I didn't. When we got married, I was 21, I was a spiritual infant. I don't know how to say it. Okay? She was more spiritual than I was, actually. I was not anywhere as near prepared to lead a family. And I'll tell you what, I've had to struggle and work on that, and it just didn't come natural for me whatsoever. It has been a struggle. For years, we didn't have family devotions in our home because of that, I think. But God finally got a hold of my heart, and we just, whether it was natural for me or not, we just started doing it in Winnathan. But I got to tell you, it would have been so much better and so much easier had I been spiritually mature before we got married. Please, please, listen to my failure, if you will, and don't do that. Please don't do that. You have some great energy, young people, right now. You're young. You're just full of energy. Focus that energy on the Lord, seeking after the Lord, becoming a strong spiritual Christian. Read your Bible. Learn what the Bible says. Spend time in prayer. Get to know the Lord Jesus really, really well. As a friend, as your Savior, but as a friend. Be faithful in church. Learn everything you can learn. Work hard at becoming spiritually mature. And focus that energy on that while you're young. And then when you come to the marriage altar, you will be ready. And God will bless your marriage. I think probably some of the rest of us around here could give similar testimonies to what I just gave. I think you'd say amen to what I said. It would have been a lot easier, a lot better. If you'd been spiritually mature before you ever got married. Let me just give you a few closing thoughts here. What was Adam doing in the garden? Well, God was preparing him a wife. He was sleeping, wasn't he? He was sleeping. God put him to sleep. God gave him a sleeping pill or something. Put him to sleep. The Bible says he was in a deep sleep, and God took a rib out of him and made a woman. Healed him, you know, bound him back up again, and then kicked him in the side, say, "Hey, Adam, wake up. Here she is." God brought the woman to the man. Young people, listen to me. You go to sleep emotionally about the opposite sex. And you let God bring her to, or him to you. Okay? Just like God did with Adam. Oh, it's so important, young people, to be seeking the Lord in these energetic years that you have. Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Another place it says, "with all thy strength." Colossians 3:1-2 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth upon the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Matthew 6:32-34. I know these verses primarily in the context are talking about food and clothing and so on. But let's apply it. I think we can apply it to the need for, you know, a spouse. Okay? Let's talk about this. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." What's that like? You know, the Gentiles seeking after, well, it's the world. That's the heathen. They're out there seeking what? Yeah, you know what they're seeking. The guys are seeking girls, and the girls are seeking guys. Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Before that happens, seek ye first the kingdom of God, young people, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of it in his time. You turn it over to him. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Take no thought for the opposite sex. Psalm 63:1 says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." Let me ask you, kids, will you do that? Will you seek him early while you're young? Hope so. Proverbs 8:17 speaks about wisdom. "Those that seek me early shall find me." That's a promise. You seek wisdom early and you will find it. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward you if you diligently seek him. Okay? Psalm 34:10. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. One of the important things about those teenage years is contentment, being content in the Lord and what he's doing in your life, and not be discontent looking around. Okay? In our text, 1 Corinthians 7:27, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Don't be out there prowling around. Leave it up to your parents and the Lord. And you just worry about, you focus on getting to know the Lord as best as you possibly can. In those years, teenage years. Now let me just say something to all of us in the church here. We must be on the alert for any young people flirting with each other. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. We all have a responsibility in this. Okay. Parents, if someone speaks to you about your young person flirting with somebody, how will you respond to that? That's a big question. Now, you're going to be tempted to get angry because you're pretty sure your teenager is perfect, right? Dale's smiling. You might even cause a big stink over it. You know what? That's a carnal way to react. Do you know that? You know what you got to say to that person that comes to you, parent? Oh, thank you so much. I didn't realize that. I'll deal with it. That's what you should say. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to make this real clear here. Amen. In our church, okay? From now on, this is how it's going to be. Okay, young people? If anybody sees you flirting around, somebody's going to report you to your parents. We got a lot of watchdogs around here. Okay? Yeah. See, I hear them. You better be careful. And parents, if I hear one parent who reacts badly to that, I'm coming to you and we're going to have a good talk. Because you're not acting right. Amen?
Amen.
I want to make that good and clear. That's just how it is. If somebody doesn't like it, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But I want to protect our young people.
Amen.
I'm concerned about it. That's how it's going to be around here. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, by the way, before we pray, let me just say this. I've been hard on you, okay? I am blessed by our young people. We have some of the best people, young people around. For the most part, you're already there. You already got this figured out. You're already committed to courtship, I believe it. But I want to tell you, there's a real pull by the devil out there, pulling on you. So be careful. Be careful. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together today. Lord, I pray that you would just help us help our young people, Lord, to spend their energies focusing on you, loving you with all their hearts. Lord, this is so important. Lord, I pray that in the years ahead that you would bless each one of them with godly marriages. I pray that you would really do a wonderful work here in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.